Welcome to the Nerd Alternative Podcast, a sweet melting pot of all things nerdy. Today, I is your host, Levi. And also with me is a Mr. Hassan.
Hey, how's it going?
And a Miss Rem.
Hello.
Very, very mellow vibe today. Let's see how long that lasts.
I'm like bubbling with chaos and you guys are way too chill.
Today, we are talking about Black Widow. It has arrived. The first Marvel film in, what, 2 years? 1 year, 3 years, somewhere in that range.
Honestly, it feels like it's been about 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lockdown, man.
Lockdown. And it feels like a post-pandemic film.
Mm.
But yeah, just quickly, before we talk about that, there are a couple things I want to talk about. Just two things, guys. The first thing is, Hassan, I'm sure you've seen it. The Valve has announced this Steam Deck. In case you didn't know, it is a handheld PC gaming console. I guess that's the best way I can really describe it. Hassan, as someone who is, you know, trying so hard to get into the PC drought / game, whatever you want to call it, I want to know how do you feel about this? Like, how do you feel about the look of it, the specs of it, like just the thing in general?
Honestly, I'm pretty hype about it. Mostly because Gaben turned around to and said to Nintendo, "I'll make the Switch HD." That's really killed me. And secondly, because like from the specs, it looks like it's going to be quite versatile, and the fact that you can dock it and just use it as a PC, like specifically a gaming PC, I'm quite excited to be able to go back to kind of mouse and keyboard and actually do some gaming, because they have all the USB kind of like attachments and everything else, and you can kind of customize as you want with your periphery. So honestly, like a cheap way to get back into PC gaming is a huge thing. It's a huge thing.
But I don't, you know what? You're saying cheap. How I know there's like three different versions of it. Do you have the prices in front of you? I know one of them is like £600. I think it varies depending on.
Yeah. So the cheapest one is £350.
So I have here a 64 GB version, which I don't even understand why that even exists for $400. I mean, that's probably going to be what, around the same region in pounds, maybe like 370 or something around that. I don't know if you have 350. Okay, cool. Do you have the UK prices there?
I've got the cheapest one. I can't find. Oh, hold on, I've got them now. So 64 GB is 350. 256 GB is £459.
Yeah.
512 GB is £569.
There we go. I mean, obviously you can add, I think you can put a micro SD card in there to increase the storage, but damn, man. Like, I mean, I have a Switch, I have a PC. I do think it's good in a sense, I guess, more of the docked capabilities of it. You can play 4K. I think it can play 4K when it's in docked mode. So it's definitely more powerful compared to like the Switch can play docked mode. And also, I guess the fact that you have all the Steam titles on there. And,
exactly.
I mean, it runs like a PC essentially. So I've seen.
They've also said that the other storefronts work on the Steam Deck too. So you're not limited like by Steam.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I do think it's funny how they announced this just after that OLED Switch. I definitely think they saw the window at a QuickTime event. They pressed triangle and they and they definitely got right in there. But do you know what? Competition, it drives inspiration. So Switch boy, I just want a proper HD Switch.
Bro, I might have to F for Switch.
And do you know what? Yeah, I don't mean to sound like a pirate all of a sudden. Yeah, but especially when it comes to Nintendo properties, yeah, emulation, you know, sometimes there's people that literally there's some games you cannot play. It's not like PlayStation or Xbox where you can, most games you can, they either re-releasing them or you can get them in the store. Like, you're going to have to pay like £60-70 to get Ocarina of Time or whatever, or you know, on whatever platform. If you had this, you could just emulate the thing in it. I'm just saying.
Especially with, like, you know, the handheld consoles too. Like, there's a lot of those games that you'll never find those again. Like, you'll never find those again. There's like a huge swathe of like titles and like kind of amazing like gaming experiences that a lot of people never ever be able to find easily or kind of comfortably outside of emulation, which is like a crying shame.
Yeah, but I mean, Nintendo do what Nintendo do. It irks me sometimes when you think like they run on goodwill and their IPs. But anyway, sorry Ram to drone on about that. It's just really interesting. The Steam Deck. Can I just ask Hassan, what do you think of the button layout?
Honestly, I need to see it in my hand. In the same way with like the Switch, where like having big hands, handheld consoles have always bothered me. Like I've always found them like quite irksome to use. So having the ability to connect a keyboard and mouse, having the ability to connect a controller is like, it's game changing for me. I'm like, I'm done. I'm easy. I'm in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I definitely had to warm up to this one. When my friend first sent me a picture, I was like, whoa, that B button though, it's kind of falling off the bed. You know what I mean?
But the trackpads look cool though.
Like, yeah, they do. They do, to be fair. And the fact that you can use them, like I can literally see you just on the Steam store, just, you know, using the pads to move around. But yeah, it's cool. And one more thing, honorable shout out to Space Jam, New Legacy. Sorry. Yeah, sorry, Ram. I was asking Ram earlier, why do people hate this film so much? Has anybody watched it? No?
Not yet. I am going to see it though, because like from all the things I've heard, it's a trash, like say trash fire, and you know how I feel about trash fires.
Yeah, you love them.
Mm. Bad.
Where there's a trash fire, Hassan will be there roasting marshmallows.
just rubbing my hands gently on the wall, like,
Come, soldier, stay warm. how do you feel about the first one, can I ask?
I have strong feelings because it came out the year I was born and everyone knows how I feel about the year 1996.
A perfect year that can't be critiqued.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I watch it. I feel like I probably watch it once a year. I've watched it this year.
So, really?
Yeah. Not on purpose, like not as in like I go out of the way, but like if Space Jam is on, I will watch it.
That sounds like a cult thing. I'm a little bit worried.
It does, right?
Yeah.
I just really enjoy it. And I think there's a few films as a kid that I watched them so many times that when I watch them now as an adult, I kind of have flashbacks, and that's what it gives me. So it's that and Flubber, like that I think I just used to bang them out for some strange reason, which are the two weirdest films because they're not even my favorite like childhood films, but I don't know.
Hey, look, Flubber slaps. It's legitimately Flubber a good movie. Slap.
I think that's maybe it was like the animation versus humans that just really like blew my mind or something as a kid. I don't know. Yeah. Where I was like, maybe I'm going to see Bugs Bunny in the street one day. I don't know.
Did you watch Looney Tunes before the like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. Of course.
Hassan, do you have like that mad nostalgia thing for Space Jam?
No. So I watched it a lot when I was a kid because you're a kid and that's what you do. You just kind of watch the same thing over and over again. And then I took like a long, long break and then I watched it with some friends and it just didn't hit again. And I kind of could not see the flaws. So I've not gone back to watch it again.
Okay. I haven't even had that watching it. I don't think I've watched that film in over 10 years, 15 years. I don't know. But also I feel like we must say we're British. Basketball is not like in our face like that. Do we have a film that's kind of like that? Like
Mean Machine?
No, hell no. Kids watching that? Bend It Like Beckham, maybe.
Yes,
but now that's still a bit more like heavier than just like, hey, this is, I don't know, Wayne Rooney kicking a ball with Bugs Bunny. I don't know. But
hold on. Let's talk about that off air because that sounds like a movie we can make.
Oh my god. Oh, you think we need to draft a professional pitch? I mean, I did look at because I was talking to Ram a little bit about it, and a lot of people saying that it's like a giant Warner Brothers advert, and I kind of think that's I think that's kind of funny. That like nowadays, I feel like companies and corporations are just being very like shameless in their just throwing things in your face and like in a very capitalistic way. I don't know. I watched the basketball game scene and I was like, there's just all of their property here. The whole of Warner Brothers, I don't know, was the CEO or was he sitting in the garden? I don't know.
Can I say one thing? If you like Kingdom Hearts, you can't complain about this.
Yes, I can.
You can't. Like it's literally a Disney advert. Like the whole game is a Disney advert.
But you know what? I'm teetering with Kingdom Hearts. I'll be honest with you. I am teetering. Free made me feel like a shameless slag. it did make me feel like yeah. It's like,
just take my money and go, Mickey. Like,
yeah, it's on the counter. Just leave. But yeah. Anyway, Black Widow. Let's talk about it.
Mm.
I guess I got to go through some homework. It came out on July the 7th, I want to say, in theaters. And it was out on July the 9th on Disney Plus. All three of ourselves did watch it on Disney Plus this time. It was £20. I'm not sure how much it cost in the US and other countries. Probably
$30.
What, $30?
Mm-hmm.
Shout out them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? For me personally, there's a difference between £20 and £30, especially when you can split it with people. Just saying, like, I mean, some people have home cinema systems.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to talk about that. No, we'll talk about that in a bit.
Are you Let's asking me? I don't have him. I have surround sound everywhere.
No, not you. No. We'll talk about it. So the screenplay is by Eric Pearson, who has worked on Godzilla vs. Kong, Agent Carter, and he's worked on some like other Marvel properties, uncredited rewrites. This is also co-written by Ned Benson and Jack Schaefer. Schaefer, I hope I said that right.
Schaefer.
This was directed by Kate Shortland. And one thing that I think was interesting is that the studio had to meet with 65 directors before they came to her. And I mean, you got to think about how this film came about, how long it was. It's interesting.
66 could have been any of us.
That could have been you, Ram. But yes, its opening domestic box office was $80 million in the US, which was more than the Fast 9 opening previously, which was $70 million in the US. I think, no. Family. We are here for family.
I don't care about Black Widow is
spy family.
Black Widow is family.
Hey. You know, it's money about... doesn't matter with family. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Dominic Toretto for Black Widow 2.
No.
It's all about family.
No.
Can I throw one thing in quickly?
Yeah, go on.
Space Jam beat Black Widow.
Oh.
Did actually, it?
Okay. Yep.
I thought it didn't. I thought it done really bad.
I feel like, to be honest, now it's just going to be an uphill. Just this thing's going to come, this thing's going to come. So,
is Space Jam like the first cinema, like out in family theaters?
Friendly.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that says something. And kids love that stuff. Do you know what I mean? LeBron James, you know, Duncan, all of these people. Mm. Interestingly enough, after it's great post-pandemic box office, I'll say. The following week saw the biggest revenue drop in MCU history. It dropping by 67.5% sales in the second week. I didn't like looking into how some of the other films done second week for like Fast, for example, but still comparing it to Marvel films is a bit mad. Now, the National Association of Theatre Owners, because that's the thing, NATO.
Honestly, for a hot second, when I first read that NATO is just the acronym, I was like, what the hell is NATO doing?
They got too much time on their hands. So they decided to switch industry.
Yeah.
That is why I specifically avoided like the acronym.
You should have just said it to confuse people.
Mm, the geopolitical body is fighting for cinema.
They're not happy. They blame the simultaneous releases. They stated, despite the assertions that this pandemic era improvised release strategy was a success for Disney and a simultaneous release model, it demonstrates that an exclusive theatrical release means more revenue for all stakeholders in every cycle of the movie's life. I feel like they're just kind of salty that they're not getting their coins, to be honest with you. Obviously, like we said earlier, we kind of all chipped in and watched it. How was your experience, Hassan?
I watched it on my laptop rather than my usual viewing, but it was good. Like I enjoyed the experience of watching a blockbuster kind of brand new at home. The idea of being kind of forced to watch things in a cinema for like for a short window has always kind of bothered me, because it's like I don't always feel like kind of socially like active or able enough to like go and do the cinema thing. So I'm all here for this, like, you know, kind of having the more options as a consumer.
Yeah, there's more to going to the cinema than watching a film. I get you. And sometimes you don't want to do that. Sometimes you don't want to look at the attendant and ask for popcorn. All that sort of stuff. Yeah. No, you're right. And I mean, me and Ram watched it together. Okay, Ram, go and tell us about it.
I liked it because I have surround sound, so it sounded good. And I closed the blinds and I just turned off the lights. And it was like, we had popcorn. I bought popcorn. What was I going to say? There's some films that I just don't really want to see in the cinema. And Fast and Furious is one of them. So, I mean, we're not talking about that film, but I wish that we could have done that. Yeah. So, and I feel like the same with this one. I just knew that it's not like Endgame where I would have like, I would never just sit and like, now I'd watch it because I've watched it in the cinema. But I think there's like some things that you just like, it's nice to be able to have a choice of like what you want to go to the cinema for and what you don't. So that's what I liked about this. And it was nice to talk and not feel like you had to
like
be
hushed. Interrupting someone.
So pausing it to go to the toilet.
That is a big thing. Like, especially when, like, if you buy a drink in the cinema, you are going to need to pee. It's like inevitable.
Yeah. Rewinding when you didn't hear something properly.
Yeah, all of that stuff. There's luxuries. Sometimes, especially now that we watch a lot of things like streaming and stuff, like, do you not ever go in the cinema sometimes and be like, I'm not in control and I don't like this?
Yes.
No, sometimes I'm like,
it's just happening.
Sometimes I miss the first 5 minutes of every movie I watch because I'm like, concentrate. There are no subtitles, concentrate. And then like in my concentration, I'm not concentrating on the movie and I have to like readjust my brain because I watch everything with subtitles and yeah. But I do like that because it makes me hyper-focused, but also sometimes I don't want to do that.
And also, we're paying money. It's not like we're pirating these things. Not everyone pirates things just because they don't want to pay, you know. And we're paying and we're able to still watch these things. It's making like new properties more accessible and more available. There's still the cinema option. It's literally that money is not going in the cinema's pocket. That being said, no one ain't got a IMAX screen in their house. Well, someone might.
None of us, bro.
I do. I'm joking. I don't.
There's definitely going to be like some Amazon brand cinema in the future. I'm telling you. But when view goes down, Amazon will rise.
That's not nice.
If they leave Bezos in space, I'm not that upset.
Oh my god. But yes, anyway, random fact, Scarlett Johansson is the first Avengers cast to hold a title of executive producer on a Marvel film.
I'm surprised it's not Robert Downey Jr. But
so am I. Shouldn't have been unfollowing those guys, dude. I'm joking.
He unfollowed everyone.
I'm still going to keep throwing it in.
Just fan the flames.
The development of this film began in April 2004 by Lionsgate. But then these rights were reverted to Marvel in June 2006. And you know what? I just remembered there was an Elektra film once upon a time, wasn't there? I don't know.
I liked the Daredevil film. because
wait, what?
Guilty pleasure. I like it. I don't care. I like it. But let's
No. Hold on. We can't continue like the rest of this with you.
Yeah.
And not dive into this.
And you know that I don't even like Ben Affleck. So that's saying it's nostalgia. I don't know. I think it's the first superhero film I ever watched that felt like dark and gritty. I was like 10. I don't know how old I was. I was young.
Okay, Ram.
I was maybe 8, actually. When did that film come out? I like it. But anyway, I didn't like Electra.
You can never complain about me and bad movies ever again.
No, ever again. It came out in 2003. How old was I? I was 7 years old. So.
Oh my God.
That's old, my enough, old enough.
And
to
it
know
introduced
about.
Me to Evanescence. So.
Oh, do you know what? Like, I don't hate this. I'm just like. Listen, you should embrace the bad.
Embrace the bad. I don't have bad taste now. I have bad taste retrospectively.
Still hold those tastes.
Yeah, but so it's a guilty pleasure. I love it. I love the cheese. Love it. I don't hate all bad films. It's just like it's Fast and Furious that annoys me. It's I don't mind bad films that are like
what is it about I don't family? Know. What is it about family that you hate so much, right?
I just feel like it shouldn't be making this much money. That's what irritates me. It's the money aspect.
Oh.
Of it. I don't care about a bad film like that you just watch on Netflix and you just have a good time because it's bad. But I refuse. Why are bad films making like millions of like I just why?
It's because they're successful in doing what they should what they be. Set out to do.
They shouldn't be.
No, no, but like they're filling a niche. There's a niche yeah. there.
That people niche.
Like, people
be.
Like cars and explosions, and they're giving people cars and explosions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what I don't like.
And
I
the resent. One rap song.
It's like Twilight though, making so much money. You give people what
no,
people
but that's
want.
Different.
What
that's,
toxic?
It's not different.
It is different. Really it is different. Different. It is different.
wait.
Cold acting.
It is different.
Cold, like cold chips. That's what the acting in that film was like. It's cold different. Chips.
It got better. We got Robert Pattinson. This gave Robert Pattinson the reboot. It gave him the set, but it gave him a hero's journey because he had to start somewhere.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say your Robert Pattinson. Like, let's read it in.
Black okay. Widow then.
Black Widow, yes. Scarlett was cast in 2010. But discussions about it, I mean, I feel like Scarlett was always talking about making a Black Widow film, but I guess Marvel weren't really interested. Maybe we'll talk about that. But the filming took place from May to October 2019 in Norway, Budapest, Morocco, Paramount Studios, Atlanta, Macon, Rome, Georgia, everywhere. This is the first film of phase 4, is it? Yeah. And it was delayed so many times, 3 times. I thought it was like 100 times, to be honest with you. Like, it's weird. But its original air date was May 2020. It is starring Florence Pugh, which was great. David Harbour.
Born in 1996, everybody. Oh, just Ram in case heard
96. Right? Okay. So you have a Space Jam specific 1996 cult that you're pushing. Yeah.
It's full very of any Tom cult. Holland, Zendaya, anybody born in 1996.
Yeah. They have an annual ceremony where they watch Space Jam.
Do you guys have like themed cloaks where you have like 96 stuff embroidered all around them?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
We even have like a theme song.
Like Sharingan, but it's like, no, it's, yeah. It's 96.
We have a song.
Oh God! Anyway. You should sing it for us later.
Yeah.
Later.
But yes, it has O.T. Fagben. Anyone else want to pronounce that?
I
think it's Fagbenle. I know it's Fagbenle, but I don't know how to say it.
William Hurt, Rachel Weisz, and Ray Winston. Shout out Ray Winston.
there's a note right talent. There that I put in there, so that's why there's an
honorable shout out. I mean, I feel like
honorable,
but dishonorable shout out. So I guess let's just get cracking with the non-spoiler thoughts. I don't know if any of you guys want to, which one of you wants to jump in first?
Oh, okay. I'm very, very, very pleasantly surprised. I was going in fully expecting to hate every second of this movie, and it's not a good movie. I also want to say that, but it's There's genuine moments of joy and there's genuinely good acting in this movie from a couple of people.
Is one of them Florence?
Absolutely. She carries the show. Like, she steals the show. But is it her and David Harbour carried the movie for me? But like, is it a good movie? No. But like,
it's not a bad movie.
Exactly. It's like Iron Man 2 for me.
That was a bad comparison.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't enjoy Iron Man 2 either. That's my point.
Okay. Well, it wasn't like Iron Man 2 for me, but
I thought we were all quite similar. For some reason, I was under the impression we were going to, all right, okay.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of what else would I put it. It was like a
Thor 2.
No.
Thor 2 is the worst movie.
Maybe it was like a Captain America 1 for me.
Mm.
Like, I enjoyed it. It's not really something I'd watched several times, but I liked it. It was fun. It set up foundations, obviously not for Scarlett because she's dead now. I mean, not Scarlett. not for Natasha, but for Yelena, who is played by Florence, 1996 Girls Go, and other characters. So I liked that. I thought it was fun. Didn't have to think about it too hard. I thought that it was nice to. I think the timing was a bit off, but for what it was and for the fact that we got it now and not like just before Endgame or after, I think it was still nice to revisit that character. And I feel like it will, like, when I go back to watch Endgame and see her die again, maybe I might cry. I don't think so, but maybe. Or maybe my eye might, you know, like, do a little twinkle because I'll be like, Yelena!
You'd just be more mad that Clint never went over that cliff.
Yeah.
So, just throw the both off.
Oh God, Hassan. Oh my days. Oh my God.
I mean, no need to go that far. I was a bit we will get into it, I guess, maybe in the spoiler free. I was a bit disappointed by Budapest because I wanted more from that. Like, I'd rather they just not told us what happened there in the first place. I kind of liked that her and Clint just had this thing about Budapest that we just never found out about and we could only guess. So I kind of didn't like that they told us because it wasn't what I expected. But yeah, it was nice seeing her character in another light. And I guess also just contextualizing slightly, like, there were a few neat things that nodded to Endgame, like her getting certain things, items or whatever, and just knowing what she was like up to during that time. So yeah, it was fine. Wasn't terrible.
Okay. Oh damn. I mean, I don't really particularly love it either, I guess. I think I had a roller coaster when it came to this film. I feel like I went from kind of thinking it was whatever to kind of being like, yeah, this is nice. This is good. But then the more I think about it, the more I'm kind of annoyed about, I guess, the circumstances surrounding the film. Like, why is it coming out now? Like, what it's about. It feels so late.
Mm-hmm.
But even that being said, without thinking about it too much, I felt like the film was fun. It was cool. The pacing was good. It felt really quick to me. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but it felt like I was like, oh, we're finished already. I really like the dynamic between Florence Pugh's Yelena and Natasha. I like the family dynamic. I think one of my things that I really enjoy about comics is how they take characters that you might know a bit about or have heard of, and like, you explore sides of them, if you get what I'm saying. Like, and I feel like that was kind of done well to an extent with the family. But it was just such a... It just felt like a throwaway film a little bit. Like, the villain, Dracov, Ray Winston, like, he was just so... just whatever. The widows were just whatever.
You didn't even get to see Sam Ryder that much. What the hell?
Yeah, exactly. For a film that was, I guess, supposed to be about females fighting, like, systems. They did have a lot of mindless women not really talking and stuff, didn't they?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about it. Maybe we'll talk about that. It just felt like, outside of seeing more Black Widow and learning more about this character, the film was just like, here you go, man. Gosh.
I was going to say, when we were talking about it before, and you were like, yeah, it probably should have just gone like where Ant-Man went instead. And I agree, because I feel like it also, it felt the same as like Ant-Man almost, like where it was in this weird place where it's just kind of like, there's like other stuff coming. So just like have this, I guess. And so we were just like, okay, we'll take it, but it's not really doing anything for the universe, really. Yeah.
And also, like, I guess, but at least with Ant-Man, it kind of introduced a new concept and like new
at
things
the very end.
The whole shrinking and playing with, you know, the Honey I Shrunk the Kids style, like giant small things or whatever. But Black Widow was, it started off like, you know, it did start off quite gritty with some of the themes it was portraying, but then towards the end, it just, you know, just was just threw that away to just be Marvel basically and just have explosions and mediocre choreographed fight scenes.
It was almost like kind of beat for beat when they blew up the Avengers the helicarrier. Mm-hmm. You know, the turbines and everything else, and that really threw me off. Kind of there's little moments like that that kind of bothered me. But as like what this movie is, I feel like it's a palate cleanser. So they've just had Endgame. They've just had this big thing. They've set the stage for what's to come with the three amazing shows that like kind of went wham wham wham. In quick succession, and they were all like high quality, like even though some aren't as good as the others. the overall like feeling now is like there's so much kind of coming down the pipe. This is a good moment to kind of have something light and like just mellow us out and kind of get us ready for it.
No better palate cleanser like women abduction and brainwashing.
No, I mean general quality of writing. this is one of those things. It's another reason why I didn't enjoy this movie as much as it could have been something a lot better, is because like they did have the setups and they did have the trappings of something they could have like really sunk their teeth into here. And they didn't. They played it as like a gag comic almost, in the way that a lot of the characters kind of interacted in these like incredibly bleak situations where it's just like, I don't fit in suit. And it's like, yeah, but this is your fake family where they've all been kind of why are we making this joke right now? But that's why I feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of a Marvel curse in it. How dark can you get? Even some of like the darkest themes are sort of dressed up in a weird like, this is bad and you should do this and this is good. But I guess that's just the cost of Marvel properties. I mean, should we jump into the spoilers? Has anyone got any other non-spoiler thoughts to add? You good to go? We good to go? Great. Let's talk about Natasha Romanoff as a character. What do you think of her character arc in this film, should I say?
Natasha is usually, I guess in this film we got to see a bit more like of a human side to her. I think like she is literally so far in the MCU has been the sexy spy lady who just gets stuff done, but you don't really see like the impact of what some of those jobs have done to her. And she kind of does work in that like murky kind of area, but you still don't like, she's a crutch to like everyone else. And I guess, especially because she doesn't really have proper superpowers there in this film. Apparently she does have superpowers, but anyway, because she doesn't really have superpowers, it always felt a bit like she was like almost like the admin lady in a way, like in a fighting way, if there is an admin lady. So it was nice to kind of see her be a lot more like softer, and like the whole thing with her going on the mission and
she's killing
Dracov's, yeah, she literally is, yeah, she is HR.
Hit and but run. Like
being, oh my god, being her go on the mission and like still having that guilt of like Dracov's daughter's death on her hands, but also like, you know, like feeling this guilt about leaving her sister, but just not really like almost being in like survival mode and kind of seeing her like come out of that. Because I think once you've watched this film and you look back at her character, you can say maybe like she's just like, it just seems like she was on autopilot almost. And now she was actually being able to like think about the impact of like having that fake family and the impact of like having deciding that she was going to defer and the price that that cost her and all of that stuff. So I guess it just made her feel a bit more like a person. And also because she wasn't so sexy in this film, like it just, I wasn't viewing her in that like glamorous angle. And because there were a lot more women in this film as well, it wasn't like, it was like this one sexy lady and like all these buff guys. So I guess it just gave her more of a chance to be a bit more human and a bit more likable, because I don't think I disliked the character ever, but just didn't really have any strong feelings because there was nothing to feel. So now I'm a bit more, I don't know, I guess, yeah. I guess she became a character in this film, if a better character anyway.
Totally agree.
I feel, yeah, it's the thing of like, what, and I guess it's why some other like comics and shows are so successful when they think about like, what are the heroes doing when they're not doing hero stuff? And, you know, like we saw some of that with WandaVision, some of the scenes that they showed us with Vision and Wanda, just when they were just at the base kind of thing. And I guess like you think sometimes like there was a big thing that happened at the end of Civil War. Like it's nice to see actual consequences happen. Even down to the snap and the blip, we're starting to see bits of it now. But when you think about it, and I guess this is why maybe some people are so like clamoring for this new Marvel content, because we still haven't fully seen, Loki's been the first thing that we've kind of been like, okay, this is where we're going with the Marvel universe. This is like something new, you know. But this film, man, like, it just, every time I don't know how many, maybe it's just me, I don't know how many times I kind of was watching it just thinking this should have come out after Civil War. Like it just would have added so much more emotional mm-hmm. weight to, like Ram said, to that scene, like seeing her like even down to, I don't really think about Black Widow, what she's doing on her day to day, but now, you know, you've shown me her family, you've shown me her origin, because it's kind of like it's like the origin we should have given you, but we're gonna just give you now. Yeah. And now I'm like, okay, I understand this character more. I understand what headspace she was in going into Infinity War and Endgame, and I know where she got that jacket from. Yeah, because that was really desperate to get that
was really important. Mm-hmm. I just need to know the brand now, really. That's the only thing that they messed up.
But I feel like it did give me a better sense of Natasha's character, at least. She wasn't too like just a woman doing woman things.
I think with Natasha, there's like a huge kind of, there's a huge like thing that the MCU could be doing, and they never do it, and we're left with like a super blank character. And this movie, they have moments where like you can really see the character that they could have made, right? Like, you know, the interactions she has with like Florence Pugh and David Harbour's character, like, are beautiful. Like, there's some legitimately kind of like gut wrenching moments, and kind of like the dialogue that they have, and like the kind of the real feeling of family to them. It is like, we could have had this character so much like earlier, and if they had done this earlier and introduced Yelena, like, where could we have gone with those stories?
Yeah,
like that would have been so cool, right? Like I think if they had like slipped this in after Winter Soldier and had like a back-to-back spy movie off, that would have been amazing.
It would have to be after Civil War. It has to be after Civil War.
It would, but like, I mean, like, kind of like that feel would have been amazing. And like kind of having like this espionage kind of wing to the MCU would have been amazing. Like, it's a little too late for me with Natasha as a character to be super invested with, but wholly here for Yelena.
Yeah. There is a massive cheap undercut of like, oh, I'm getting like shown all of these things about Natasha's character, but she did.
Mm-hmm.
And it slightly just makes you care that little bit less, you know. It is kind of unfortunate, you know. I don't know, man. But of course, but you know what? I have a thing about Yelena. Maybe we'll talk about her and some of the other characters in a minute. But I will say, it did fill enough of that gap for me where, as someone who is like just an MCU fan and sometimes just randomly thinks about the films or whatever and will randomly go and want to watch a past film, it does make me like, okay, cool, I have this new information about Black Widow's character, I guess, if I want to watch Infinity War again or whatever, or just even some of the past films. I mean, you've already answered the question, Hassan, there as well, about do you think this film was overdue. I feel like we all agree, unless Ram disagrees.
I object.
Oh, your mic disagrees with you.
Shut up. I agree. I have no further points. Thank you, Your Honor. Sorry.
Is this the Ace Attorney episode of our podcast?
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, and it's weird. Just everything down to the premise of the film just really makes you think that it was just sorry, have you ever listened to an album like Lil Wayne's, the latest Carter that he released, Carter 5, and just been like, this sounds like 2009. Like, it sounds like it was made and left, you know, like when games go through development hell and they come out and you're like, I can see the era that it was conceived in.
Duke Nukem Forever.
Essentially. I don't know if this was the original script. I'm sure the screenplay was changed numerous times from when it was initially developed, but it makes you think like, how long was this film just there? Did you guys ever see those emails from Ike Perlmutter, the Marvel CEO?
I heard about them.
Hassan, you see them?
No, I'm like, my ears perked up. I'm like, ooh, scoop, let's go.
So this was an email between, it was a leaked email between Ike Perlmutter. I don't know if he's a Marvel Entertainment CEO right now, but this was at like the time of 2015. And Sony exec Michael Linton. It basically, I won't read it because he's basically just listing all of these films, all of these female-led films, so Elektra, Catwoman, Supergirl, and basically being like, these films are not good. Supergirl was one of the most important females and did 14 million total domestic and opening weekend of 5.5 million. Another disaster. So he was basically giving him examples of bad female films. So it kind of, without explicitly saying it, is like...
Women don't sell.
Yeah. Well, independent women in the independent character-driven film don't sell.
This is like weirdly
bullshit.
Yeah, no, it is. Weirdly enough, this is exactly the same thing that Serge Hascott was saying in Ubisoft. In the way that he was like getting rid of any female-led like games being developed like for a long, long time, until he was kicked out. And it's totally bunk. It's like, if you make bad movies, it's not going to sell. If you don't like actually support these movies, then they're not going to sell, of course. But like, we have like so many examples of amazing films led by women, and it's like, why wouldn't they sell? It's just like, get your misogyny out of here.
No, 100%.
Yeah, I think it's just it's always very frustrating to hear that, because it's like, well, like, women like movies too, like, Jesus. And also, like, it's a case of like, you have to do your due diligence. If you don't promote a film very well, then obviously it's never gonna sell the same as the other films that you're making. If you don't make a good movie, then you're not gonna get word of mouth, so there's not gonna be a surge to go see it. And obviously, as Wonder Woman proved, and Wonder Woman isn't even like an excellent movie. It's good, I guess. It's not my favorite, but like clearly that did numbers. So what are you talking about? You just say you hate women and leave.
It would make things way easier if they just kind of were honest about their like their misogyny.
Yeah.
Can I ask?
Or at least do your research. Oh. Sorry.
I was just going to ask, what did you guys think of Taskmaster, speaking of female characters?
Terrible. Utterly terrible. And it's not because it was a woman that was taking the lead. They just ruined that character.
The only Russian actor, I think.
Yeah, and she didn't even speak that much.
She was like two lines.
Can I say, if this was any other race, this would have been horrifically racist. And everyone would be like, this is horrifically racist.
I'm sorry. Why is this okay? Ray Winston's accent, he was Australian. He was South African and he was also a New Zealander. He was like, he kept flipping between those three regions. That was terrible. Everyone's accents were terrible. Florence, I'll give her a pass.
No, but like, you could have hired Russian actors or voice coaches.
Yeah.
Just like
Ray Winston malfunctioned, man. His accent setting in his brain like had a serious malfunction.
Wild, man.
I mean, and it's like, I don't have much history with Taskmaster outside of maybe he was in the Spider-Man game, I believe.
Yes, one of the highlights of the Spider-Man game for me as well.
Yeah, and I guess he's kind of like, not similar to Deadpool, but like that kind of, yeah. It's funny you say Deadpool, look what they did to him in Wolverine.
They literally did the same thing.
Well, I can't wait for the next Deadpool movie where he talks about it.
Taskmaster?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought you meant about him in Wolverine, because I was like, I feel like he's
about it now. Yeah.
That being said, though, with like the brainwashing being removed from her, she could become that kind of character in the future. Who knows? I mean, that reveal in itself, how did you feel about Taskmaster being
Draco's daughter? I was just going to answer to your point before, just that I feel like if they are going to change her, minus the brainwashing, I feel like they've kind of set her up for failure already, though, because like they just haven't really done anything for the character. And then like the reveal was a reveal, but no emotional stakes. I mean, like, I guess there kind of was in the fact that Natasha finally feels like, oh, she can redeem herself. And I do think that exchange where she kind of like freed her and then tried to save her, but then she was still trying to kill her, was kind of cool. But like, that's not a setup that we've had from, it's not like we've always known that Natasha killed a child. And like, we were told that information at the beginning of this movie or in the middle of this movie and found that out also in the same movie. So I just don't think it had enough space for it to really be like, oh my God, it's Dracov's daughter. Like, that doesn't really mean anything to me. I barely know who Dracov is. And yeah, okay, like she was a child, but like, I don't know her. I don't know her. And like, this is my first time coming across the fact that Natasha has been holding this guilt her entire life. So I think that like the reveal was a reveal, but like, okay.
I'm with you on that too, because like, this would also have been pertinent character information earlier on in the Marvel run, if it was like, Natasha, you know, our buddy Natasha, child killer. Yeah, Natasha.
Yeah.
So, okay, you guys have already answered my question. Oh, this is more what Ram wanted to talk about, like the Budapest reveal. It felt very like
lacking.
You know, oh, we're doing this? Oh, we're here? It felt like that. And then it was just like, oh, okay.
It was literally one apartment. That was it.
Yeah, like arrows to suggest that Hawkeye and Natasha had a fight. And I was like, yeah, but I wanted a flashback. Give me a flashback.
I mean,
it was basically an Easter egg, really.
Mm-hmm.
As much information as we got. It was an Easter egg.
That was where she blew up the child, innit? No?
Yeah. It was still an Easter egg. We didn't even see Clint.
Yeah, he got that phone call treatment. But I mean, did we really care? Did you really care? Because I didn't.
I think I cared for the vibe. They've just talked about it so much that I wanted to be able to be like, oh my God, it's Budapest, and I wanted to be excited about it, but like, they didn't give me anything to be excited about, so I don't think I actually cared, because I do think that like to be fair, Clint and Natasha did already have that relationship, so we didn't really need to see it that much. But because it was like an ongoing joke, I just wanted to. I was nosy, basically. I wanted to know the details, and I didn't get anything.
And yeah, well, that's exactly like you said. It's like, what is it about what we saw? When you think about what Clint, is it the fact that they killed a child? Because if it's that, Clint is a little bit fucked up. Yeah, he's always referring to remember Budapest.
Yeah, like, I think it's more.
Let's not do it, Budapest.
I think it's more them like having four, and then that being like a moment for her. I think maybe they should have focused more on the like less on the child killing and a bit more on the fact that like she defected.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And like that. And I mean, I guess the two are intertwined and stuff, but I think that the child thing is like very new information for us. You could do a lot more with the fact that she defected, because we've seen her do stuff like that time and time again. She was working for SHIELD and she realized SHIELD was bad, so she leaked the information, and like, well, she realized SHIELD was Hydra and she leaked the information. So kind of seeing like, why does she make these decisions? Like, where did that start from? What was the turning point? What was the psychological like fallout of that? Like, that would have been like, if you've been brainwashed and like tortured and you've had your womb ripped out and all that stuff, and suddenly you've like flipped over to the other side. I think maybe if they focused on that a bit more and like how Clint got her out of that, because that's not something that we really got an explanation for. We got Clint came to kill me and then I defected to SHIELD. Yeah, but like what happened in between? Like what was the mental shift? Like I think that's what maybe would have made it more satisfying. But yeah, I don't know. I guess a lot of stuff just lacked depth that I think could have, even though it was nice and I do feel like I knew Natasha better as a character, it was lacking something. And yeah.
If they had focused around, if they focused the movie more around it, that would have made it hit harder and hit way closer to home.
Yeah.
If they had Clint in this movie, it would have hit harder and it would have made more sense and it would have been more effective as a focal point for the movie. Because as it stands now, the only character we really kind of have like any emotional kind of distance with is Natasha. Everyone else is new. Mm-hmm. If we have someone else to kind of like bounce across, because we know those characters, we can kind of feel the feelings that they've been feeling because we've seen them kind of go through it, right? We can empathize with them better. Right now, we have like Chuckle-Fuck Arba in the fat suit. We have Rachel Weisz, who is maybe the worst performance I've ever seen her do.
Oh my god, yeah.
Florence Pugh, who's carrying this movie
on her 1996 shoulders.
Yeah, for real. Like and it's like I can't get really like invested behind any one of these specific things because none of them kind of link well or mesh well enough together. Like the family story, awesome. I can really get behind that. They've really nailed the feeling of the family. The Budapest thing with the revenge and the kind of the fallout and the consequences of actions, super dope. I'm super into kind of seeing what that movie looks like. The kind of the slaying the dragon of your past, that movie I can watch and I can enjoy that movie too. But all of these movies sitting on top of each other doesn't make sense and it doesn't really work very well.
And that's why they should have just given her a movie ages ago.
Yeah. Talking about
or at least just shoved her, sorry. No, I was just gonna say, or at least shoved her into another movie like they did with Hulk. Like, come on.
If they did a Clint and her movie earlier on, they could have done Budapest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if it was just for that, she could have just been in that scene for that one Budapest mission in Black Widow. So yeah,
he's not that expensive. Come on, guys.
He's not that busy. But yeah, the Lady of the Hour, Yelena. Florence Pugh.
Yeah, let's go.
And what I find interesting and kind of grateful for is the fact that they gave her a character. She was brought in with a character. A lot of these Marvel females just kind of come in as just the help almost. Like, you know, WandaVision was just, Wanda, which was just, she was just like, just brainwashed, you know, prisoner, you know, mm-hmm. Captain Marvel. Just
she got cool powers. That's one of my biggest pet peeves is a powerful woman that doesn't have a character.
Yeah, Captain mm-hmm. Marvel. Gamora was nice. Nebula, those later films, but some of these like characters are introduced in a bit of a bland way. So it was nice that they kind of gave Yelena that, like, defining this is who she is upon entry, almost, if you know what I mean. I really liked her dynamic with Natasha. I liked it almost let you see Natasha's character more clearly as well in just how she reacts to her family, but Yelena in particular. I mean, I feel like everyone's hot on her. If you want to share your thoughts.
Can I jump in? The thing I really enjoy about Yelena the most is her character isn't reliant upon Natasha. Like, mm-hmm. her character works just as a character. Like, you get like a lot of like superhero kind of origin movies where everyone only exists insofar as the character is being the superhero, right? Like, their day-to-day life stops the moment like the character isn't in a scene with them. Their development stops the moment it kind of they're not interacting with the main character, the protagonist. Like, Yelena's led like a full life kind of after being exposed to like her freeing agent. She's gone about, she's been a survivor, she has been surviving kind of until this point on her own. Like, she hasn't waited for Natasha to give her the impetus to kind of build on herself as becoming a character. And I'm here for it. I'm wholly here for it. She's also like, she's incredibly kind of like compelling as a character, because she has like solid reasoning behind her actions too. Like, it doesn't just kind of feel like A, she's a MacGuffin, or B, she's just there to react to things either. Which I'm like, top notch.
Totally agree. Ram?
My thoughts are, I won't mention the year 1996 again.
Let's try and be objective here, shall we?
That is my last point. But it was cool, like you said, that the fact that she already came in with a character and that she already came in with like her own full experience. Like, there was a sense of like everything that's like led her up to this point, even though we didn't actually see much of that. And obviously quite early on, she got the smoky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what
the magical MacGuffin.
You got the anti-freeze, brain freeze thing, brainwashing thing.
It's a shock repellent spray from Batman.
Oh my god. Well, she got mist. It looks like Terrigen mist, you know. She got some Terrigen mist.
Maybe.
And was able to like kind of, so we got to see like her change character almost very like quickly, which was interesting to watch, because it did kind of give her a bit of mystery, like, oh, what the hell was she doing before that? Like, ooh. And she's very funny. She was the character that kind of poked holes in everyone, which I really liked. Like, she called literally everyone out on their bullshit, including Natasha and her stupid superhero land.
Oh my god.
But also even in the more serious moments of like when she was talking to the Red Guardian about, you know, like the fact that they lied to her and the impact and the trauma that left her of like being, I don't know, like 5 years old or whatever, and just thinking that this is your family and this is not your family, and then you just get brainwashed and stuff. And and also just her even calling out Natasha when she was like, we're not family, and she's like, okay, yeah, we're a fake family, but like we were a family, and like that is like the happiest I've ever been in my life, which is the most bleak line ever, like, oh my god. So I felt like she had so much depth, and I'm really excited to see like where she's gonna go, and especially with the like post-credit scene, knowing that she's gonna go after Clint, which, you know, I was surprised by how little I like, care if he actually dies.
You were calling me out for saying he could fall off the cliff.
That was mostly Levi.
When Clint and Black Widow was fighting on that cliff, it almost felt like they were fighting for relevancy.
Oh my god.
Them two have always been that. Like, they just came in the first of, like, well, obviously Natasha was in Iron Man 2, but they kind of just came with the Avengers. They just came with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
If you get what I mean. They were just like, yeah, we didn't.
the opposite to a power couple. They're the powerless couple.
Literally. Yeah, so I thought that she was like very charismatic, and like her, sometimes Marvel humor feels a bit out of place. Not always, like not in a way where it like ruins the film or anything, but like sometimes like there'll be like a line there, I'm like, and it like, I don't know, it takes me out of the movie a little bit. But I didn't feel that with any of her lines, because it just felt so well integrated into her character that it didn't feel like, I think with Marvel humor, once they found what their humor was, sometimes there were characters saying things that didn't used to say that in other films. And then I'd be like, would they say that though? Whereas because it just feels very natural for her, like it never felt like, oh, this is a weird moment to make a joke. It just felt like she would do that as like a coping mechanism. So yeah, and I'm excited to see where she goes. And I mean, I guess we might talk about this a bit later, but like I really appreciated the line where the Red Guardian's like, oh, like, are you on your period or something? And she's like, no, I don't have periods. And she's like, yeah, because, you know, and she goes into great detail and makes him feel very uncomfortable. And I felt like that was a great moment and kind of a shady moment to, was it Ultron, where we found out that Natasha can't have kids, and they kind of just glossed over that. And I was like, how do you gloss over the fact that this woman has had a forced hysterectomy. Yeah, there we go. I was saying that, putting the R in the wrong place. So yeah, I thought that she was just very like, yeah, she was very blunt. I liked that.
I mean, you touched a little bit on the fertility thing. As a woman, Ram, how do you feel like this film...
Wait, Ram's a woman?
Yeah, did you not know this whole time? What? I know, fresh. I come off as one of the... No, I don't.
So, in terms of like some of the films of themes of like womanhood and fertility and things like that, do you think, how would you say it was handled?
There could always be more. But like I said, I think that like it's weird that women are... like people are happy to use women's like sexuality and like sex appeal in movies, but they kind of dismiss anything else that comes along with being a woman. And so I kind of did really appreciate, I think it was more so particularly like that line and that exchange that really made me kind of, because even when they talk about it in Ultron, they phrase it very much as like, you know, like they ripped out my womb so that I wouldn't have children, so I would never have a discretion. And I think that's still quite a weird framing, because it's like, you don't need to you don't automatically need to like put womb and baby together, because not every woman wants to have a child. And so like Natasha might not even have wanted a family. Obviously like they express that, you know, like she doesn't have the option or anything. So I felt that in this movie it was nice that they were able to refer it not from that angle, but like, actually, no, I don't have periods. Actually, it was like a very painful procedure. Actually, it was very graphic. Like, they literally scraped out my insides, and more of the impact of like what that did to the person and not their potential to be a mother, if that makes sense. So, I guess that's one way that I knew that this had at least had a woman's touch on it, even if it was just like the director. So, I thought that was cool. And again, like I said, just the kind of lack of like, obviously Natasha and like Yelena and like who like are attractive women, but that was not the focus of their characters. It was just like almost like a, like if you notice that, you notice that, but it's not like there's more to their characters than that. And that's why I also really appreciated like Yelena pointing out the like the whole hair thing and everything, because it's like, why? Like that pose literally is on screen so that men can like appreciate Scarlett Johansson's form and her hair, hot hairography or whatever. So I think obviously there could always be more, but it's miles better than the stupid forced like female empowerment things that they've been doing in like the Endgame, which I hated. So yeah, I guess this is probably like one of the first times that I think they've had a female character that I just feel like I didn't really think of them as just like the lady. Yeah.
I'm just going to quickly say, Hassan, before you jump in. I feel like
you've had me. See, it's all you, bro.
It feels a little bit cheap, though, I'll say. But at the same time, it's like, what are you doing about it, though? Like, it felt almost meta, Marvel saying, like, you know, yeah, we know we've just had Scarlet Witch just doing this, basically, until now. But, you know, the fact that this film feels so late, we've had these leaked emails and it just feels thrown at us. That message in that film is a bit weird. I don't know.
That's why I said it's a start. They could always do more because obviously there aren't that many female-led things in the MCU anyway. But I guess like the fact that they're thinking about it is enough for me. And the fact that that exchange was actually didn't feel like a throwaway, didn't feel... Obviously, the movie itself felt cheap in the fact that it's come out like so late and it's not really going to do anything for the character. But I feel like for Yelena, for example, they've set her up as a strong female character that feels well-rounded, that doesn't feel like she's just there to be pretty on screen or to be a crutch for like other male characters. And the fact that she actually had that line almost feels like it marks like, okay, we know we did shit. So like starting from now, we're going to start to do a bit better. So... That might be me just being like a bit optimistic, but
no, I'm being maybe petty. It was just that, and also the like I said earlier about the, well, when you think about it, as many I know this is about the Red Room, but it kind of we didn't really find out much about the Red Room, did we? Really?
Yeah.
It's red,
and everyone was just like. A spy person, basically, every woman, and then Taskmaster, who's like slightly different, doesn't talk. So that felt a bit like okay to me. Like every it's just all, and even down to the fact that it feels like they're partly replacing one woman, one spy woman with another spy woman. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know, there's just these little things that I guess it's just a thing of like maybe you don't realize that, maybe that's just me like deep in it, but
yeah, I think it's definitely like a valid criticism, but at the same time it's like okay, I guess because I had the context of like we'd finished Loki and we have characters like Sylvie, we'd seen like Wanda be like more fleshed out, so then I think it would have probably rubbed me up a bit. I would have felt that more and felt a bit less like enthused by the very little scraps that they gave us if it hadn't been for the fact that I'm like, okay, I've started to see like more characters anyway. So this does feel a bit outdated, but like, okay, like at least there's other people. I'm just waiting for a Storm and she better look like how she looks in
let's get Halle Berry back, please.
No.
Hassan, did any of the themes that touched you or rubbed you the wrong way even? Or was it all just fine? Not too egregious, not too
For the most part, like Ram hit the nail on the head. They are starting to move in a better direction, but there are still like hiccups, like the nameless females, the kind of the brainwashed females, the kind of the weaponized sexuality to a certain degree, but like that again, that stuff is getting better because they are now kind of starting to write female characters as human beings rather than just like exaggerations of the sexuality. And man, it's going to take a few movies for them to earn that trust back to a certain degree in certain things, because like you can watch it passively and not really notice it, but like if you sit and you break it down, it is ridiculous. Like in this movie, like apart from the core cast, like what woman talked? None, right? There's three speaking women roles, which is like Yelena, Natasha, and Rachel Weisz's character.
Melina?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
and
it.
She was so like just fill a mum.
We need some more old and black ladies in here. Yeah, not mutually, like old and black.
Yeah, no, but you know what I mean? It's like this film is predominantly about female spies.
Yeah.
And they're literally, they might as well have like skinned over their mouths like Deadpool from Wolverine.
Yeah.
All they did was punt, like got a curb stomp Black Widow for a bit.
That was pretty cool. It reminded me, but not as awesome, of Claymore. And there's a scene in Claymore where they like stomp out Miria, and that was sick.
Claymore was dope though.
We needed more Claymore energy in this.
But also, I feel like in general, towards the third act, it kind of just threw away. Like, we had Natasha unable to attack Dracov because of pheromones or whatever.
I thought he said theremin. I thought he said like 100 different things.
That accent, way. But it just kind of felt like. What was kind of interesting, but I felt like they could have done more was like the fact that Natasha was old school in her brainwashing, and then they kind of advanced to like the dust or the spy dust or whatever they did to brainwash them, and I feel like you could have played with that a little bit more. It just felt very like, because if you're going to talk about like women being essentially like slaves for men and being under control and breaking through that, I feel like you could explore a little bit more like what it takes to break free of that, as opposed to like just spray some dust in your face. Mm-hmm. And even then, you could still have some, like, they felt really like even at the end, I was saying to him, I laughed when they all just got out of that helicarrier together, like all of them, like a crab or a group of penguins just coming out together, like in a
that was ridiculous
to pick up Taskmaster and just back into the plane or whatever it is.
She did really just hit her with pocket sand at the beginning of that movie. She's like, pocket sand, gah! Like.
But it just felt like towards the end, they were like, but I guess sometimes, you know, in a film, it can just be about highlighting something as opposed to trying to tackle it head on. But I don't know.
Like, yeah, but there's ways to do it with depth, you know? Mm-hmm, but yeah, mm-hmm. Again, like, from Miss Marvel 2, Captain Marvel 2 better be, you know, they should have learned their lesson by then.
So like there's a thing in this movie that they did, and I'm not sure if they did it knowingly or they kind of just bumbled into it. They kind of had like a pastiche of like generational spy movies. Yeah. Like the beginning of the film felt like a very recent spy movie, like a kind of a Bourne movie to a degree.
Yeah. That fight scene was very like,
Yeah, no, I think it was actually quite intentional, because I can't remember the director's notes or stuff, but they were just talking about like inspiration that they kind of had lifted from like specific spy films, or even just like down to Natasha watching those James Bond films. So I think it was intentional, to be
fair. Oh, wait, okay, what film was she watching at the beginning, actually?
James Bond, something.
you kind of like answered my question. I had a question at the end of this, but like the middle of the movie does feel like a Bond movie, and then the end of the movie feels like a very old kind of campy, ridiculous spy movie with like stupid gadgets and bad science and like worse accents. Like even to the accents, it felt like a really old school spy movie. If they had done this well, This could have been a magical movie. This could have been amazing, but it felt like, it felt like Hot Fuzz, without the actual sense of humor.
Yeah.
To do it properly, it felt like they'd watched three spy movies and went, "Okay, we're gonna have our act be those three spy movies," and it just doesn't gel to me. It just really doesn't gel for me.
Yeah, going from, James Bond films to me. Are like very like, you know what you're getting into, and Dracov did feel very much like that at the end of like some of these spy films I've seen, when you don't even know what they want, you just assume it's some form of world domination or something like that, I don't know. and then they die usually in some sort of like explosion or something wild like that,
something ironic.
You're 100% right, it just doesn't gel with something as like grounded, and it even had the vibe like, you know, Bourne films, you know, Jason Bourne is like on the run, and it literally parallels some of what was going on in Black Widow, and it's like sometimes you need to understand what you're pulling inspiration from. Maybe it doesn't necessarily go together. That film that they were, that she was watching was Moonraker, and I think That film works. They have that. That's the one where they have the he has the shuttle in space or whatever, isn't it? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess that there you go.
I'm telling you, they watched three movies.
Watched it too.
Yeah, they literally watched three movies and they just went, "This is our movie."
I was gonna ask how you. Sorry, no. I was just gonna say, I was gonna ask how you felt about this as a spy film, but you're literally answering that for me. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, like, as a spy film, I think it's incredibly stupid.
Yeah. I agree.
It's like a good spy movie. Like, there's a setup, right? Like even like detective stuff. There's a setup at the beginning. They tell you kind of. They give you red herrings. They give you like clues. They give you things to get you thinking, right? This movie, everything they told me made me want to think less, because it was like the moment I start thinking about it, I'm going to get angry because none of it makes sense.
Yeah, it was very weak. There wasn't much intrigue, like no mystery or Dracov. We were just like, okay, like he didn't do a kingpin and smash someone's head into a car door really aggressively.
He couldn't even fight.
He just backhanded Black Widow a couple times and we're like, oh, he hit a woman.
Oh, that he's bad now. Kill him.
This woman has been punched up by 100 men. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. There's something about the way Dracov does it that's supposed to be.
It's because he's really like
toxic masculinity in his hands or whatever it is.
It's the rings. It's the rings.
Yeah, it's probably the ring that does it. But yeah, this definitely felt like how would you put it? A spy flavored Marvel film.
Yeah.
More
a
than
pastiche.
And I guess after seeing like WandaVision, that sort of direction, and Loki, and even just like Doctor Strange and Thor: Love and Thunder, it just felt like if you're gonna go on the ground with the spy stuff, you've got to do it well. Mm. And I think there's something weird when you realize, I mean, not all Marvel films are gold, if you know what I mean, but they tend to be tight. And when they fumble the ball, it kind of is in your face, if you get what I'm saying. What was I going to... I think, is there anything else we need to talk about in this film?
I've got one thing, right? Like, if they had done this kind of tone shift in reverse, it would have worked so much better.
Yes.
If they had started off ridiculous, campy, huge Marvel stakes, big, big stakes, and then they funneled it down into like this laser-focused kind of human family kind of gritty spy movie, that would have been amazing. Like, that would have been amazing. And like, it would have also made all of those stakes feel way more personal if they had like continuously kind of like funneled the focus down.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. The tone shift is a bit bizarre. Ram, any closing thoughts before we stamp a number on it?
My closing thoughts is that we had great ideas for this film, but they clearly just wanted this film to be a throwaway film that was stuck in development hell. So it's kind of hard to like talk about it honestly when it's obvious that like that some care was put into the movie, but not a lot of care was put into the movie. So it was never going to reach the, like, it was always going to be lazy, which is a shame because like Black Widow was the original lady. And you know, obviously she's dead now, so like it would have been nice to like give her a bit more of a like an outing or like whatever. I do appreciate that, you know, they laid her to rest because they didn't in Endgame. And also like we now have Yelena, and I hope that she's like a good legacy for like, you know, female characters moving forward. Well, good starting point.
Yeah. I mean, when is the next female-led film?
Captain Marvel 2? Yes, yes.
Yeah.
It's a bit mad, isn't it?
There's the Miss Marvel TV show coming out.
That's why I specifically said films, to be fair. It is interesting. All right, but out of 10, how many Silence Widows in a red room?
There's five for me. There's five for me.
There's six for me.
I'm going to go 6.5. It gave me enough. I was entertained to an extent. I didn't come away regretting watching that. Like, no part of me. So
yeah, it was not Fast and Furious.
Wow. Listen, don't you can't put these two together. One of them had a car swinging through the air like Tarzan. That's art. This had Ray Winston. Just, you can't compare them.
This had pieces of metal falling through the sky and magically not hitting the main character. That's what this had.
Oh, that's just plot armor. That's normal.
Yeah, but that was ridiculous. Like, what?
Okay, so that is our reigns. I would still say C. I say if you're a Marvel fan, if you're an MCU fan, it's not bottom of the pile. It's that middle pile. Watch it, enjoy it, and move on. kind of thing. And it's a good, like,
it's good fun. Appetizer. It's fun.
Yeah. It's a fine time. But yeah, that's it. That is it with our review. But before we go, have you guys been up to anything cool, nerdy, special, tantalizing?
Chainsaw Man. I'm back in Chainsaw Man, and it is so good.
Oh, you didn't finish
it's so
did you?
Good. Nah.
Yeah, I almost want to read it again, but I'm just going to wait till the anime comes out.
Man, I just want like a Pochita, like a little like doll or something, just they're going to like hide somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I love Pochita. He has a whole personality.
I just want to say it as well on record. Pow's a punk.
You Power?
Yeah, Pow's a punk. Like,
oh just... yeah.
Not a fan of Pow.
I think you're gonna change your mind. I hope you'll change your mind.
We'll see.
Ram?
I have caught up to Jujutsu Kaisen. I did it.
Yes.
Which was kind of a traumatic weekend for me, but it was fun. And I'm like barreling my way through Mass Effect, which is crazy because I don't have time, but somehow, you know, you I'm getting through it. I'm still still playing Mass Effect 2, enjoying it greatly. Took me a bit of like, I don't like change, so the fact that everything had changed from Mass Effect 1 was like, I was like, I don't know how to play the game anymore. Even though it was like minor things, but now I'm like super into it. I really like all the improvements that they made. I feel like that's mostly it. Just watching my regular animes, Tokyo Revengers, To Your Eternity. Tempted to watch Odd Taxi again.
To Your Eternity.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
It's like, so sad.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
I'm not sure I'll have any tears left after the end of the series. But
I'm reading I got back onto High School Family. Highly recommend, everyone should read High School Family. It's hilarious.
Nice. Myself, I've been caught up with Trojan X at last. It's good. I'm into it right now. I'm intrigued. I started Skyward Sword.
I want to play.
Now the controls, right? They're a bit... Now I've actually decided to play this in docked mode. So I am okay. Literally swinging them in my room, swinging my hands around like a loser. it's quite responsive. It's fine. It's a bit janky, but it's going to be a bit janky.
It's a Wii game. Like,
yeah.
What were you expecting?
The docked mode is... It works, but... The fact that you're using the analog to swing the sword, it takes a lot of getting used to. This game has a lot of directional mechanics, like enemies that literally they block like that or that. You have to diagonally slash them, if you know what I mean, like literally which way you hit them. So you can't just be pressing attack, and that's their solution to get all of the slashes on the handheld mode. You flick the analog stick, but it works. But it's like it's just weird. Very weird, but it's fun. And yeah, To Your Eternity, to be honest, I've been watching that and One Piece. The last episode of One Piece, not the latest one, I think the one before that, it was so good. I just love it. But yeah, To Your Eternity, shout out. You know what? I'm not even gonna say nothing about that. But yeah, I think that's me really. Skyward Sword in all the way. But yeah, that is an episode. Who wants to do you guys want to tag team our team or tags? Tag our tag team? Tag the tag team.
You can find us on the following social media for more. The Nerd Alternative on Instagram, The Nerd Alternative without an E after the N on Twitter and on Reddit. Hassan's going to tell you where you can listen to us.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Podchaser, Breaker, Google Podcasts, and anywhere that does podcasts. We're also now on Good Pods. So if you use that app, we're on there too. We have a YouTube channel where you can find some of our videos too. Please leave us a rating review, both on YouTube. Come chat to us on our social media platforms. We're always down to talk all things nerdy.
Yes. Thank you very much, guys. And I think with that, we are out of here.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.